5 of this series that we've been looking at for the past 2 weeks, this relationship series where we have been talking about God's plan for relationships. And we've called this series Upgrades because we believe that God wants to upgrade our understanding of love and of dating and of marriage and of intimacy and just other matters relating to relationships. Oftentimes what can happen is we can be functioning really according to culture and the ways of this world and be doing what culture says is right. And ultimately what happens is things begin to fall apart and things don't work the way God wanted them to work. But if you want things in life to work in a way that is not only honoring to God, but beneficial to you, it's going to happen as a result of us doing things God's way. And so hence the series Upgrades. And so last week we talked a little bit about marriage and we talked about marriage goals and how God wants our marriages to look. And if you missed any part of that sermon, you can go online or you can download our app from the App Store and catch up there. Or you can watch us on YouTube. We got all of our sermons for the past few weeks uploaded on YouTube. And so we got a YouTube channel. Plenty of ways for you to be able to interact with God's word, but best way I would encourage you guys is to download our app because all of our messages are up there. And one of the things that we're doing next Sunday is we're actually doing a Q&A session to end our series. And what we're asking you to do is to submit any questions that you have pertaining to love and dating and marriage and intimacy, relationship questions that are that are all about just hearing what God's word has to say about these matters. We want you to fill out that Q&A session so that way, or that Q&A link on our app, so that way we can answer those questions. And I want to let you guys know, family, we already got some really good questions that have come in, and they are good. Somebody say good. They are good, and we want you to be a part of that. And so my wife, Ariel, and I will be answering the questions. We did it last year, and got really blessed and moved, and so we're going to be doing it again. And so today I want to really kind of do a part two message of marriage as we're talking about things God's way and upgrading to God's way of doing things. And the reason why this is so important, I believe, is because as we talked about last week, marriage is a covenant that is really a picture of the relationship between Jesus and his church. And so in the scriptures, oftentimes the church is called the bride of Christ. Jesus is considered the bridegroom. And so in Ephesians chapter 5, as we preached from last week, the Apostle Paul is writing to the believers in Ephesus, and he says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Wives, submit to your husbands. In other words, follow your husbands. Follow the leadership of your husbands as he's following unto the Lord. And what happens now is when we are in harmony with God's plan, it becomes this beautiful picture of this union between Christ and the church. And now what happens is it becomes a witness to the watching world of what life is to be like and what marriage is to be like. But as we're talking about marriage and as we talked last week about marriage goals, what I've come to realize is that in being married for a number of years, and for those of us who are married and maybe you've been married and maybe you're not married any longer, but what you probably realize is that marriage is not always like pretty. Like, it's not always nice and decorated. It's not always the Instagram pictures that you see of people taking them and saying, hashtag marriage goals, you know what I'm saying? And like, you do realize, like, on Instagram and on Facebook, people only post their highlights. Like, they never post, like, the low moments in life. Nobody does that because they wouldn't get any likes. And so nobody wants to see that, right? And so, but oftentimes, because we live in this type of a culture of only wanting to show our highlights, as a result of that, we get a very misinformed perspective and picture, especially when it comes to marriage. And when it comes to marriage, everything is not always pretty. And so today, in kind of the part two portion of this message series, but talking more so about marriage and the part two kind of aspect of it, today I want to talk about what I'm calling the flip side of marriage. Somebody say the flip side of marriage. The flip side of marriage. And the reason why I want to talk about this today is because, as I mentioned, marriage is not always pretty. And I would argue that when we do marriage God's way, that there needs to be two things present. There's two sides of it, if you will. Side one is what I would call enjoyment. Somebody say enjoyment. Enjoyment. It means that marriage is a gift from God and it's meant to be enjoyed by husband and wife. The Bible says in James chapter 1 that every good and perfect gift comes from the Father above. And when God gives gifts, He gives them to us for our enjoyment. That's one of the biggest purposes. But he also gives them to us for our edification, to build us up. But oftentimes what happens is in marriage, a lot of times people kind of miss the fact that marriage is meant to be enjoyed. And in case you're thinking like, man, that's not true. Like, no, like marriage, like, is, no, it's not meant to be any joy associated with marriage at all. Here's what the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 5, verse 18. May your fountain be blessed. Solomon, one of the wisest king next to King Jesus, obviously, writes to his son. He says, may your fountain be blessed, and may you rejoice in the wife of your youth. May you rejoice in the wife of your youth. Why would he say rejoice? Because marriage is meant to be enjoyed. It's not meant to just be a drag. It's not meant to be depressing. And if God has gifted you with the gift of marriage, it is a gift meant to be enjoyed, which means you should vacation together. You should have fun with one another. You should look forward to being with each other. Like, you shouldn't be looking for ways to not be around each other. You should be looking for ways to be around each other. Like, marriage is this beautiful gift. It's meant to be something that's enjoyed. It's meant to be something that is loved. You should date each other, and you should speak well of each other, enjoy each other's company. But marriage is not just meant to be enjoyed. That there has to be enjoyment in marriage. But another thing that must be present for marriage to work is there has to be endurance. So it's two sides of the same coin. One side is enjoyment, and the other side is endurance. That though marriage is a gift from God meant to be enjoyed because of sin and because of the fact that we live in a fallen world, marriage won't always be easy. And I need us to understand this. For those of us who aren't married, and maybe you're looking to be married, you believe God is calling you to be married. Maybe for those of us who are married, you haven't been married that long, whatever the case may be. Marriage is not always easy. There's going to be challenges. And what society does is society does a great job of placing emphasis on experiencing the pleasure of marriage, but does not know how to deal with the pain of it. Society says it's all about enjoyment. It's all about pleasure. But real life is, man, just as there's going to be the pleasure side of marriage, there's also going to be some painful moments. And unfortunately, because there's not a holistic perspective of what marriage is, because that's the case, oftentimes many people view marriage as a waste of time. Like, why am I get married and end up experiencing some pain? I can experience pain on my own. But the reality is, like, it comes with the territory. That marriage is not always just hunky-dory. That marriage is a journey, and there will be seasons where you go through pleasant terrain as you're walking on the journey of marriage, but then there will also be times where you walk along painful terrain. So you will have times of enjoyment, but there will also be times where you got to endure. And what do I mean by endure? Where you got to persevere. Where you gotta press through. Let me say it like this. Last week I said that marriage is not just meant to be endured, it's also meant to be enjoyed. Today I want to flip that around. That marriage will bring about enjoyment, but it also calls for endurance. Endurance. Somebody say endurance. 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 Meaning this, that I gotta press through some things and I gotta persevere through some things. And this message today I believe is so important. Because we can't just talk about just the Instagram pictures of marriage and just, you know, say yes to the dress and all those type of things. But I really want to make sure that we're prepared to deal with the different complexities of marriage. Joy and pain. That we would experience pleasure and sometimes of discomfort. That there will be enjoyment, but that there also has to be endurance. Culture will just try to help you fixate on the fact that it should just be all about enjoyment. And that if there is not 100% enjoyment, your marriage is wrong. Or that your marriage is jacked up. Or that your marriage is messed up. But here is the reality. This is my first point. Every marriage is going to have to go through a couple of experiences in some capacity. You can't get away from it. You can't get around it. Here's the first thing that you will have to experience in being married. And for those of us who are not married, you need to know this. For those of us who are married, you need to know this. Here's experience number one. You will go through a time of challenge. Challenge. Everybody say challenge.
Challenge.
You will go through challenge. What do I mean by that? Difficulty. There's going to be some troubling times. There's going to be some uncomfortable times when it comes to being married. It doesn't mean that marriage isn't a good thing. It just means that there's going to be some difficulties at times. Just means that sometimes it's going to be uncomfortable. How do I know this to be true? Because Jesus says these words in John 16, 33. In this world, you will have many troubles. You will have many troubles. In this world, you will have trouble. And he's writing to the disciples to let them know that as they go along life and as they go along ministry and sharing the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ with people, that they will encounter challenges of all types. They're going to experience them. They're going to deal with them. Such is the same with your marriage. There's going to be times where you go through challenges. There's going to be difficult moments that you have to endure in marriage. What kinds of things will I have to endure, Pastor Edwin? Things like financial struggles. There may be some times where you, as a husband and wife, y'all experience some very difficult financial hardship. You may go through a time where one spouse may lose a job, and it may put a strain on the household. You may be going through a time where you experience the loss of a loved one, maybe a child, or maybe another family member. You're going to have to endure these type of times. You may have some communication issues. Communication is considered to be one of the biggest issues in any marriage. But let me, newsflash for all of us, it's not just a marriage thing, it's a life thing. That communication issues are all the way around. Amen, somebody. But especially in marriage, because now you're living with somebody. And you got to learn how to talk to each other the right way. You can't just cut each other's heads off. But then there's going to be some times where you're not necessarily seeing eye to eye. But then there may be some times where somebody may go through some health challenges, where there may be a negative prognosis that may come. You know, one person may be diagnosed with cancer. One person may be diagnosed with this. And as a result now, it is creating some difficulty in the marriage. There will be times where you have to experience a challenge. I remember when Aaron and I, when we first got married, within the first month of us being married, we experienced the painful time of experiencing a miscarriage. It was painful because nobody experiences to come into marriage and say, hey, sign me up for the miscarriage. You don't go into marriage thinking, like, man, what's the worst that can happen for me? Is that the worst? Okay, cool, let's go that way. Like, nobody plans on that happening. But it happens. We live in a fallen world. We live in a broken world. We live in a sinful world. And as a result and as a consequence, difficult times come. Challenging times come. Things that you don't account for. Things that you don't plan on happening. Things that you weren't prepared for. It's going to happen. Matter of fact, the best news that I can give you today is to prepare that things will go wrong. Like, expect things to go wrong. I'm not saying don't be hopeful, don't be optimistic, but you got to have an understanding that challenges are going to come. You got to be ready for it. And the world will try to convince you otherwise. The world would, and when you look at everything online, and when you look at TV, and you look at all these different images and things like that, the world would oftentimes communicate to you this picture that everything is just supposed to be perfect, that everything is just supposed to be right, but that's so far from the truth. Jesus says, in this life, you're going to have troubles. Your marriage, you're going to go through some seasons. There's going to be some great days, man, but then it may be some dark days as well. Every marriage will go through a challenge, if not multiple challenges. But here's another thing that I need you to understand about the flip side of marriage, that just as there will be challenges, every marriage will also reach a conclusion. Why do I say that? Because culture, once again, I'm trying to upgrade you, would once again say that we're going to be together and nothing will ever separate us in this life or in the next. That we are soulmates forever, for all of eternity. And it's like, wait a minute, nah, not necessarily. That every marriage, just as it has a beginning, will have an end. Why do I say that? Because in this life, everything is temporary. Everything is temporary. Like your hair is temporary. Amen, somebody. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about, right? Food is temporary. Items are temporary. Everything in this life is temporary. It doesn't mean it's not good. It just means it's temporary. And you got to understand that. Because if you place all of your weight on something that's temporary, then what happens is when it ends, it'll crush you. But we got to have an understanding that everything in this life, it's temporary, but it's beautiful, as the Bible will say, in its time. That's why Ecclesiastes says that there's a time and a place for everything. There's a season for everything under the sun. Seasons come and seasons go. Thank God that winter is over. Come on, somebody. Y'all should be glad we ain't getting no snow here. People were getting blitzed with blizzard after blizzard out in the Midwest. Seasons come, seasons go. Marriage is a season. Now, how long the season lasts is one thing. And how well the season is one thing as well. But every marriage goes through a season. It is a season. And God's desire for marriage is that when it ends, when that season comes to an end, that we will be able to say the words of the Apostle Paul, that we finished the race and we ran it well. That our marriages will be great. Doesn't mean that they were perfect, but that they were a picture of God's love. That they showed the world a different option. That while the world sees all of these marriages that are dysfunctional, that the body of Christ presents this picture of marriage that's not perfect, but that points to a perfect Savior. That it's not a picture perfect marriage, that there may be issues over here and issues over here, but it is a picture of God's grace and that it is a picture of God's love, where husbands and wives are loving one another, that it would finish well. Every marriage is going to finish. The question is how it will finish. And there's one of two ways in which every marriage will finish. The first is death. God's desire is for our marriage to last a lifetime, but it will come to an end. And more than likely, it will happen in one of two ways. The first is death. This is why in the marriage vows, if you've been to a wedding and been to a marriage ceremony, the pastor or the minister would say words like, until death do us part. Because the way God established marriage in this fallen world is that it would be lifelong, but that it would come to an end through death. That it would be consummated through death. This is why Jesus says this in Matthew 19, 4 through 6. Haven't you read? He replied that at the beginning, the Creator made them male and female and said, for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate. And the only thing that will bring an end to a marriage according to God's way and in line with his will is death. But death is not easy. It's not easy to lose the person of your dreams. And some of us may be there right now where you were the person you were married to, they passed away at a young age. Or maybe you're up there in age. You're in your 60s or in your 50s, your 70s, whatever it may be, and now you find yourself being a widow, and you probably never thought that you would be a widow. Like, you never probably walked into marriage thinking that, you know, there's going to be a time where I'm a widow. You may have thought about it. You may have thought it was a possibility, but more than likely you weren't thinking about that. And then when it actually happens, it's painful, because now what's happened is my life that has been so united with my spouse, now I have to learn what it's like to live all over again. I was talking to somebody recently who talked about how they had been married for almost 70 years. 70 years. That's like twice my lifetime. Y'all got married. It's like y'all don't live twice my age and been married. Can you imagine how they've been married longer than they were alone? And to now think about what life will be like without this person. It's like you don't even remember how life was like in more ways than one. You don't remember how life was like without that person. So now it's like I got to learn how to live all over again. That's painful. And the Bible speaks a lot about people who are widows in the scripture and talks about how God is close to the brokenhearted. And a lot of times it's talking about widows. Because oftentimes widows in scripture were in a vulnerable place where they found themselves now having to carry weight that was carried by two people, now having to carry it as one. And that could be painful. That could be painful. See, this is the type of stuff the world don't tell you. The world doesn't prepare you for these type of things. The world just tells you, oh, you're going to be married forever. You're not going to have to go through anything. God's like, hey, I want you to have a really sober perspective about this. That you're going to go through some difficult moments. And your marriage is not eternal. It's temporary. It's but it's not eternal. And at some point, it's going to reach a conclusion. And I'm not trying to be doom and gloom. I'm just trying to give us facts. I'm trying to help us have a good understanding of it so that way we can appreciate what's going to come at the end of my message. But if marriage doesn't end in death, if it's not ended in that way, the other way in which it will end will be through another painful experience, which would be through divorce. And God's plan, I want us to know something, is not that your marriage will end in divorce. That's not God's desire. And it doesn't mean that if you go through a divorce that he hates you. That is not true. And if you've believed that lie for years, and if you've heard that preached, that is a lie from the pit of hell. It is not gospel. It is not God. He doesn't desire that you would go through the painful experience of divorce. But it does happen. Why does it happen, Pastor? Because we live in a broken world. We live in a fallen world. And our lives have been so impacted by sin that it goes deep into our lives, even sometimes, unfortunately, into marriage. And the reason why, oftentimes, you'll see in Scripture why divorce is something that is not spoken of in a positive light. Matter of fact, God says these words in Malachi chapter 2, verse 16, in the New King James Version. He says, I am the Lord God of Israel, and I hate divorce. Why would God say something like that? I hate divorce. Why does he hate divorce? He hates divorce. Notice he says, I don't hate the people. I hate divorce. Why does he say that? Because what divorce does is it disrupts the beautiful union that God desires for people to experience. It disrupts harmony. And God hates division. God is the ultimate reconciler. This is why Jesus came, to reconcile us, to put us back into a relationship with himself through faith in Christ. And anything that causes division, God is not a fan of. And some of us in here, man, you've gone through that painful experience, or you know people who've gone through that painful experience. And you may have been asking yourself, like, man, how do I get through that? How do I deal with that? And I know this is sensitive, because all of us have different experiences, and we've gone through different things, and we've experienced pain. Matter of fact, Time Magazine released a poll last year that found that about 40% of married couples will divorce. Almost half of all married couples will end in divorce. But I want you to know something. It doesn't have to be you. Even if you are on your second marriage, that don't have to be you. It doesn't have to be you. God has something great for you that he wants you to experience. Matter of fact, in Matthew chapter 19, verses 3 through 9, Jesus found himself in a conversation with some Pharisees, some teachers of the law, and they came to him asking him this question. The Bible says, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any and every reason? The Bible says that they asked Jesus this question because they were trying to test him. They were trying to trap him. And then Jesus says, haven't you read that at the beginning the Creator made them male and female and said, for this reason a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife. That word united in the original language means to be glued together. The husband and wife are meant to be glued together, inseparable. And he says, and the two will become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Marriage is when two become one. We are one. Everything that is yours is mine, and everything that is mine is yours. It is no longer mine. It's no longer me. It's no longer you. It is us. This is us. Way before this is us, this is us. It's God's idea, not NBC's idea. Not Jack and Rebecca, not Randall and Beth. You know, it was all, like, this is what it was Jesus. It was his idea that we would be one. And therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate. And notice what they say next. Why then did Moses command that a man give his wife a certificate of divorce and send her away? Jesus replied, Moses permitted you to divorce your wives because your hearts were hard. What did he mean by that? Because in Old Testament times and in biblical times, people would oftentimes divorce their wives, more than likely husbands. It wasn't wives divorcing husbands. More often than not, it was husbands divorcing wives. And they would oftentimes divorce their wives for petty stuff. My food is too hot. Divorce. It's petty stuff. You didn't do something the way I want it. I'm divorcing you. Just wake up the next day. I don't really like the way you look. Divorce. Papers. Jesus said, your heart was hard. This is why Moses permitted it. This is why I allowed it. Because your heart was never there in the first place. It was all about you. It wasn't about us. It wasn't about being in harmony. And notice what he says next. But it was not that way from the beginning. What does Jesus mean when he says that? It was not that way. It was never meant for husband and wife to be separated. It was never meant for divorce to take place. It was never meant for division to take place. That was not what it was designed for in the beginning. Then he says this, I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife except for sexual immorality marries another woman conducts or commits rather adultery. So here what you see happening is Jesus giving really one of the only times in scripture where divorce is permitted, one being sexual immorality or in other words, where there's been infidelity, where there's been an affair. Why is this so profound? Because marriage, as I mentioned, is a covenant. And what happens now is when an affair takes place, the covenant now has been broken. The covenant, the thing that now has been established by God, now as a result of someone or people taking the step outside of this covenant, now what happens is we've gone against God's way. And so what Jesus says is when there's been sexual immorality, divorce is permissive. Then he also says here, when hearts are hard. In other words, where the husband and the wife, if I can modernize it, it's almost like where abuse is taking place. So in instance, here's what he's saying, is adultery and then abuse. In other words, if I'm in a relationship with somebody right now that is abusing me physically, I do not have to stay in it. Get out, and I mean that seriously. God's will is not for you to be with anybody who is putting their hands on you, who is abusing you physically. That is not God's will. That is not 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Love is patient, love is kind. That is not husbands loving your wives as Christ loved the church, or wives submitting your husbands. And abuse doesn't just happen one way. It's not just men that abuse wives. There's also wives that abuse husbands. Like, let's not just, like, throw the brothers under the bus. We got some tripping sisters, too. Amen, somebody. I know culture would have you think otherwise. Have y'all seen that movie Obsessed before? Just go Google it. It happens. It may not be as common, but it happens. And God's will is not for the marriage to be abusive or unfaithful like that. Not one bit. And so in that instance, he does permit divorce. Is that what God wants? No. Because once again, his heart is the reconciliation would take place. And some of us have walked that painful path of divorce. Maybe you got divorced years ago. Some of us maybe are there right now. You're going through a divorce. And you may find yourself now in this painful moment where families now are being split apart. There's an awkwardness right now in the family. There's an emotional impact. And you're going through this pain. And let me say this. And if divorce doesn't hurt, then what it may mean is you were never united to that person from the beginning. Because marriage means that we're united. We're glued together. That's what it means in the Hebrew. We're glued together. And if you glue anything, it talks about gluing two garments together, two garments of cloth together. And if you glue them together, gorilla glue, imagine that. Gorilla glue them things together. And if you tear them apart, you'll have remnants of both on each. There's a ripping that takes place. And if I've been truly united, I would feel that. So this is why if you talk to anybody who's gone through a divorce, and maybe if you've been through a divorce, you can say, it hurts. So let's be real. It hurt emotionally, psychologically, and financially. That's why they say it's cheaper to keep her. Where do you think that came from? It's hurting your pockets. It's hurting your mind. It hurts. But that was never, it's never God's intent. And some of us have gone through that and are there right now. And you're like, man, Pastor, man, it hurts. And it's tough. And some of you guys, it's not even divorce. It's the first point. It's the challenge. You're going through marital issues. You're arguing all the time. Arguing over petty stuff. They want to have a thermostat at 73. You want to have it at 74. Now y'all fighting. It's petty. No, we're going to go to cookout. No, we're going to Chick-fil-A. No, we're going to live in this neighborhood. No, we're going to live in this neighborhood. Right? And it's like there's no peace. And maybe it's not even that, but maybe it is, health issues, and you're going through some tough times right now, and you're like, man, like, I didn't sign up for this. Like, I don't know how to deal with this. And you may be asking yourself the question, is there any good news? Is there any good news when my marriage goes through challenges? Whether it's challenges I created or challenges that just came about. Is there any good news when the divorce happened? Is there any good news? Because I feel like now that the divorce has happened, my life can't move forward. I feel like I don't have anything to live for anymore. I want to end my life. I want to literally end my life, and I don't have anything to live for. I'm going through a divorce right now, and I did not plan on that. I didn't plan on this person being unfaithful to me and having an affair, or I didn't plan on me doing that. Like, I didn't plan on it. Is there any good news for me? That's where some of us are right now. It's the flip side of marriage. It's the part they didn't show you on Instagram. There won't no hashtag for this one. It's the part that's not popular. It's the part that nobody likes to talk about at work. It's the part that nobody likes to talk about in the family. How do I deal with this? Is there any good news? How do I respond when I experience moments of challenge in my marriage? How do I respond to the divorce? How do I respond to the loss of the loved one, to the loss of my spouse? And now I got to pick up the pieces, and I got to be left with this, and I got to deal with funeral arrangements, and I got to figure out how I'm going to make ends meet, and I got to get another job, and I got to worry about the kids, and how am I going to deal with any of this? And culture does not know what to do with this. This is where culture drops you off, because culture doesn't even know where to turn. Society does. You know what society says? Abandon. Leave. Run. But you know what God says? Endure. But Pastor, that sounds so tough. I can't endure on my own. I've tried, and I'm at my wit's end. I can't persevere anymore. I don't have anything left in the tank. What am I supposed to do? How can I press forward? How do I do this? Because I can't do it within my own strength. I can't do it within my own capacity. How do I do this? I hear what you're saying me, telling me. I hear you telling me, muster up some strength and pull up my bootstraps and put on the big boy shoes and big boy pants and big girl pants. But I don't have anything left. I don't have anything left financially. I don't have anything left emotionally. I don't have anything left to give. I am at my end. I don't know what to do. And I want to let you know something that's good news. Because if you have reached your end, that is where God's strength begins. Amen. That you may be at a place right now where you feel dry. You may be at a place right now where you feel empty. You may be at a place right now where you feel like you have nothing else to live for. The marriage ended and you're like, I don't even know what I'm going to do with the rest of my life. The person passed away. I don't even know how I'm going to raise these kids by myself. I don't even know how I'm going to pay these bills. You're going through a challenge right now. You're not seeing eye to eye. You're sleeping in separate rooms. I don't know how we're going to deal with this. And God says, the good news is no matter where you find yourself, I will meet you in the middle of your problem. I will meet you in the middle of your pain. I will meet you in the middle of your issue. How do I know this to be true? Because 2 Corinthians chapter 1 says this: Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves received from God. For just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ. What am I trying to help you understand today, spiritual family? What am I trying to help you understand, church family? What am I trying to help you understand, husbands, wives, college students, young adults? What am I trying to help us understand? That when you go through these moments, God will give you comfort. He will give you strength. Strength to endure. This is why the Apostle Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And prior to that verse, because oftentimes we like to quote that scripture all out of context. I can do all things through Christ, man. Like, I can go to the NBA at 50 years old. No, you're not. No, you can't. You suck. You're old. You can't. You can't. This is not going to happen. Your day is past. That's not what Paul was talking about. Paul was talking about right before that, I know what it's like to be well-fed or hungry, clothed or naked, going through bad times, good times. But you know what? I can do all things. In other words, he's saying, I can endure all things through Christ who gives me strength. Through Christ, not through myself, not through my spouse, not through anyone else, not through more money, not through a better career, not through a better house, but through Jesus Christ, I can endure and go through all things. Through Jesus, I can overcome all things because he strengthens me. What does God give us when we go through times of difficulty? This is the flip side of marriage. What happens? What does God do for the flip side of marriage? What does he give us for the flip side of marriage? He gives us his comfort. He gives us his strength. I was recently speaking with somebody who I've known for some years and he shared with me after I asked him, like, hey man, how's everything going with you? And man, how's your family doing? And he kind of paused and he kind of hesitated and he said, honestly, Edwin, like, my wife and I, we're going through a difficult time right now. And so he began to tell me how there had been some infidelity in the marriage on her part. He began to talk about just how it was just rupturing the family and just how hard it was. And they had been married for 20 plus years and have two kids, one in high school, another one in middle school. And it's just impacting the family. And talking about how his wife was just gone off the rails and just gone off on the deep end. And it's just going through. And I felt his pain in that moment. Because to be married for 20 years, and then all of a sudden it just flips like that, and then all of a sudden some pain enters in, and all of a sudden something that you don't account for happens. Like, nobody comes to the wedding altar on the day of the wedding standing across from each other with the pastor in the middle. Nobody says in year 20, I expect you to be unfaithful. Nobody says in year 20, hey, I'm going to have an affair. Nobody says that. And do you know what he said to me? He says, man, it hurts, and it's tough. But he says, Edwin, honestly, I didn't think I'd be able to make it to where I am right now. But I'm actually good. I was like, what do you mean? He says, I have felt so much of God's grace and strength in my life and comfort in my life in this season more than I've ever experienced it in my life before. Because even though the intimacy between my wife and I had been disrupted, it grew me in my intimacy with God. And God stepped in the middle of my pain and began to give me more of his presence. So that way the Bible, when it says these words, that weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning, it's true that he will give beauty for ashes and that he has a way of working all things out for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. He says, even though my situation is not good, my God is still good. And I'm going to trust him. Yeah, my marriage is on the rocks right now, and I don't know if we're going to be able to reconcile this. He says, I want to reconcile. And I've been pursuing my wife, and I've been praying for her. And I've been reaching out to her, living in separate environments, been that way for about 5 months now. Haven't really had a whole lot of contact. But he said, Pastor, I'm still holding out hope. I'm still holding out hope. Because I believe that God has something he wants to tell through this story. And then he said these words. He said, and even if unfortunately we have to get a divorce, I know that God is still good. Even if we end up having to dissolve our marriage, I know that's not God's will. It's not his perfect will. But even if it has to come to that, I know that God still has a plan. I know, and this is what blew me away. I know that God still has a plan, not just for my life, but her life as well. That even though there's been some issues, I know that God still has his hand on her life. I know that God still has his hand on my life. That I know that my God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly more. And even though it hurts right now, I know that God is going to produce a purpose through this pain. He gives comfort. This is why Paul says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 8 through 10. When he's talking about this pain that he was experiencing in the form of a thorn. He doesn't tell us what the thorn was. We don't know what his ailment actually was. All we know is there was a thorn causing him pain in his side. We don't know if it was physically, metaphorically, or whatever it may be, but it was painful. And let's just be honest. When we go through painful moments, what is the thing that we want? To exit them. We want it to leave. Let's just be honest. You get a toothache, you want that thing to be dealt with in Jesus' name. You got stomach pain, you know what I'm saying? You want that to be dealt with in Jesus' name. Some of y'all got hunger pains right now at 12:20, and you ain't even think about the message. You think about cookout. Like, I got to do something about this pain. You better get this gospel, this word in you. This word will fill your hearts. Amen. Satisfy your hunger. But Paul, he says, I asked God to remove the pain 3 times. I prayed 1 time. Jesus, can you take it away? Okay, I didn't hear nothing. Jesus, can you take it away? Time goes by, nothing's left, it's still here. Okay, maybe, because, you know, pray without ceasing and just keep praying. Jesus, would you take it away? Heaven is silent in those moments. He says, 3 times I pleaded to the Lord. 3 times. Y'all, this is the Apostle Paul. He can get a prayer through. Let me just be honest. If the Apostle Paul, who was used by God to plant churches, multi-ethnic churches all over the known world back in that time, if he prayed and sometimes God didn't respond to his prayers, you have no chance at getting all your prayers answered the way you want them to. Because sometimes God answering your prayer will not happen the way you want it to. Because oftentimes we think that God delivering us means he has to take away the pain. Deliverance does not always mean the removal of something. Sometimes deliverance is about the arrival of something. How do I know this to be true? Because what does Paul say? Lord, remove this pain 3 times. Notice what Jesus says. My grace is sufficient for you. My grace is sufficient, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Notice what Paul says in verse 10. It's like he got it. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power, watch what he says, may rest on me. And we've been praying, take the pain away from me. And God is like, I want to put my power on you, in you, and so it can flow through you. Sometimes God's miraculous work is not by removing pain, it's by bringing forth his presence. Then he says this, that is why for Christ's sake I delight in weakness and insults and hardships and persecutions and difficulties, marital difficulties, whatever difficulty yours is. Why? For when I am weak, then I am strong. What am I saying here? In your most painful experiences, in marriage, through highs and lows, through the death of your spouse, or through the divorce of your marriage, the good news of Jesus Christ is that God's grace is sufficient. Amen. You're looking at me crazy like you don't get it or like you don't believe it. What do I mean? What I mean by this is there is life after the challenge that you're experiencing right now. That you can endure through the difficult moment you are experiencing right now. That you can persevere after the divorce. That God has purpose for you after the death. That God has something greater on the other side of it. It does not mean that the end of your marriage is the end of your life. It does not mean that the challenge you are going through right now in your marriage has to end your marriage. No, it simply means this, that God is able to make ways out of no ways. That God will give you strength and comfort to endure. And the reason why this is so important to understand is because you're going to go through this. And what the enemy is going to tempt you to believe when you go through moments like this is to doubt God, is to run away from God. But when you go through these moments, what I want to encourage you to do is to trust God, is to lean into him. So where's the hope in all of this, Pastor Edwin? What are you saying? Are you saying that if I just trust God that I can make it through? Because it sounds too simple. Yes, that's what I'm saying. And scripture talks about it all throughout the Bible. In 2 weeks, we're starting a brand new series called Waymaker, and I can't wait. Because I feel like some of us in here need to actually know that God is a waymaker. Like, I believe that some of us come in here week after week, and you're depressed and you're discouraged because you look at your life and you look at your marriage, and this is not working, and finances aren't working, and you're asking the question, can God make a way out of no way? And the answer is yes, he can. He can make ways out of no ways. He creates streams and deserts. He does exceedingly abundantly above all than you can ask or imagine. And he wants to do it in your marriage. That even when you go through these low moments, he can do it. John 16:33, I read this scripture earlier. Jesus says these words, in this life you will have many troubles, many issues, right? That's what he says. And if we just stop there, that's not good news, y'all. Because it's like, Jesus, tell me something I don't know. Like I don't have to be a prophet to know that in this world I'm going to have many troubles. I can look at my life right now and see that. It's not good news. Good news is on the next side of that verse when he says this. Yes, in this life you will have trouble, but take heart because I've overcome the world. Where is my victory found? Where is my joy found? It is not found in the condition of my situations. It is found in the power of my God. It is found in the power of Jesus Christ. What am I saying? That through Jesus, we can overcome and endure any challenge in marriage. Through Jesus, we can overcome the loss of a spouse through death in marriage. Through Jesus, we can overcome the end of a marriage through a divorce. Through Jesus, we can overcome anything that tries to overtake us. That's why the Bible says that we are more than conquerors through Christ who loves us. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. Are y'all believing this and receiving this and hearing this? Because this means that no matter what it is that you experience, you can overcome them because Christ has overcome them. That even though our conditions may change, God's comfort and strength remains the same. Amen. That his comfort is consistent no matter your condition. And I love that. In 8 years of marriage, my wife and I, we've been married for 8 years. We started dating in college, and through those years of dating and even in marriage. Like, we've had our shares of peaks and valleys and ups and downs, but we've made a steadfast commitment that we are going to stay faithful to the one who is faithful to us. Amen. That we will trust in him who is able to give us the strength to be able to endure. That even when we have some moments where we're not seeing eye to eye, at the end of the day, we will bow both of our knees to King Jesus, because he is the one who can guide our marriage. He is the one who can strengthen our marriage. He is the one who can bring forth comfort and endurance. We trust in him. And what I want you to know today, that no matter what you may be dealing with right now and where you find yourself, some of you guys are here today and you're filled with shame right now because you feel like your marriage is falling apart and it's your fault. Some of you came in here today filled with so much guilt because things have happened in your marriage and you feel like it is your fault. Or you're disappointed because you feel like things are not where they should be and where you wanted them to be. Or maybe you're in this place right now where you're discouraged and you're depressed because the marriage ended. And it ended in a way that God never wanted it to end. And it ended prematurely. And there was some infidelity and there was some affair. And you're here today and you're thinking to yourself, man, Pastor, I can't move on. I want you to know that you can move forward. You can. That by the grace of God, you can move forward. I want you to know that God is for you. He's not against you. I want you to know that Jesus is for you. He's not against you. And it doesn't matter where you are on the spectrum of things, that he is for you, that he is with you, never to leave you, never to forsake you. And even if you have been the one that's contributed to much pain in your marriage, or maybe things happened and ended a certain way, and maybe that was a lot to do with you, and you're walking around with it right now, and your life is filled with it, and you've been walking in regret, and you've been walking in shame, and you've even said these words. I hear God saying that for some of you guys in here today. You've been saying these words, I didn't just fail, but I'm a failure. But I also hear God saying these words, that failure is an event, not a person. That you may have had a moment of failure, but that doesn't make you a failure. Because through Jesus Christ, you become a new creature in Christ. And the old has passed and the new has come. And it doesn't mean that what happened, we're not aware of it. It doesn't mean that what happened years ago or recently does not have some type of impact on today in some capacity. But what it does mean is this, that in spite of what's happened, you can move forward. That the grace and the forgiveness of Jesus, no matter where you are, no matter what you have done, sets you free from bondage. And no longer do you have to carry around shame any longer. You don't have to carry around the weight. And I believe some of us here today, you've been missing out on God's best for your life. For some of us in here, you want to be remarried. Maybe you're divorced. And you've been missing out on maybe the person that God is trying to send into your life because you've been so blinded by what happened yesterday. God says, would you let me step in and let my grace refresh your life to start again? Would you receive my gospel? That now in Christ Jesus, you are a new creature. And for some of us, this message may not even be for you. It may be for somebody that you know. Maybe somebody just texted you this week. Maybe you've been seeing people posting on Facebook all this week or recently. I'm done with my marriage. I hate them. Going through tough patches. And really what they're doing is they're crying out for help. And they don't know where to turn. But you do. And God has given you this word to give to them. I believe that for some of us in here today. That God has called you to be a messenger of hope to people right now. You have family members right now, and their marriage is on the rocks, or they've gone through a divorce, or they're in a widow season right now, and there's not a lot of hope. I believe that God has given you this message today because he wants you to go take it to them, that in Jesus Christ, you can experience new life, that through Jesus Christ, you can move forward, that through Jesus Christ, you can begin again, that through Jesus Christ, all things become new, that through Jesus Christ, what happened to you no longer has to define you any longer, that through Jesus Christ, you are a new creature, and God has a purpose for your life, and God has a plan for your life. I believe that this word is not just for you, but it's for the people that are connected to you, and he wants you to take this good news to people that you know that don't have any hope, they don't have any sense of direction, they don't have any sense of purpose, and God wants to use you to take the good news of Jesus Christ to them today, not tomorrow, today, when you leave here today, to get on the phone and to call them and to text them and say, hey, don't you give up. Hey, don't you quit, because God is for you. He has a plan. He has a purpose. I believe that God wants to give you that message to give to somebody today. That well before, after it takes root in our hearts, after we've experienced it, that we should express it. Express it to others.